I count it an honor that you give me to preach for the congregation here and be in the pulpit here. And I appreciate so much the presence of each one today. We have visitors and we're glad to have each of you. But I'm also glad to have our local members. One of the most encouraging things to me is the figures that we see on the board. If you will notice, our attendance last week, 31, 35, 36, 36 at the different services. We have more than that this morning. But the fact that our attendance is so near the same at all the services is a positive indicator of the strength of the congregation, and I appreciate that. Beginning this morning and going for 8 or 9 Sunday morning lessons, I want to emphasize a four-letter word, H-O-P-E. Perhaps sometimes we do not emphasize hope as much as we should. In Romans 8, verses 25 and 26, "But if we hope for that we see not, then do we have patience, or with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." One verse earlier, in verse 24, "For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for?" Sometimes we are concerned about people who have perhaps an overemphasis on their feelings about salvation. Some people are heard to say, "I know I'm saved and nobody can take that feeling from me." Sometimes people will beat their chest and say, "I know I've got it right here and I can't lose it." It is right to be concerned about that extreme. However, perhaps we're not as concerned about another extreme, which may involve too many of us in the Lord's church. And that is that we are prone to say, "I think I am saved. I believe there's a strong possibility that I am saved." And we find ourselves many times living without the assurance that is needed to sustain us, especially in the more difficult times in life. A person goes to the doctor and the doctor runs tests and comes back in and says, "I'm sorry, but I have a bad report. There is no hope for you to live except for a few days." Another person goes to the doctor, and that doctor is a quack. Doesn't really know what he's doing, and so he fails to see the difficulties that the person is experiencing, and tells that person, "Everything is all right with you. You have perfect health. You have nothing to worry about." And that person leaves with a false sense of hope. There may even be a situation where one goes to the doctor, and the doctor is a good doctor, but like all of us, can make mistakes. And for some reason or other, he doesn't see or identify the problem that the person has, which in reality is a terminal illness, and tells that person, "Everything is fine, you are in good shape," and the person leaves also with false hope. Another person goes to a doctor, the doctor runs all kinds of tests and comes in and says, "Listen, I've got bad news relative to what you have, but I've got good news relative to what the outcome can be. You have a serious illness. You have a serious problem. In fact, if it's left alone, it could be terminal. But We have a procedure that we can use, and we have medicine that we can apply, and we can take care of this problem and make you as good as new. And your health can be in good shape. And that person leaves that doctor's office with real hope. Concern, yes. Especially concern about the immediate problems that must be faced. But with real hope, because there is a solution to the problem and there is an answer to every question associated with it. I submit to you that the religious world today is facing what we have just described, but in a spiritual sense. There are some people today, if I took God's word and was honest with them, I would have to say that as long as you remain in this condition, it's my understanding that you have no hope. There are others today who will be told from pulpits, maybe even in Jackson, Tennessee, that everything is fine with you. You have no worry whatsoever, spiritually speaking. If you were to die today, your soul will be saved. When in reality, they have not become New Testament Christians. In some cases, there may be those who are almost like the quack doctors who are giving that advice. In many other instances, there are sincere preachers standing in the pulpit today giving people false assurance because they're teaching something that's not according to the Word of God. And they're telling people, you are safe or you are saved. You don't need to do anything about your condition. Just continue to live in the condition that you're in. When they're living in a condition that is, spiritually speaking, terminal. And then there are instances today, and I believe we're in one of those, where as a representative of God, I can stand here and teach you not what I believe, but what God's Word says about the seriousness of the greatest spiritual disease that's ever existed, the disease of sin. And yet at the same time tell you there is a solution for it, there is a medicine for it, the blood of Jesus Christ. And that if you're willing to take that medicine and apply it, that you can overcome everything associated with that spiritual problem, and you can live every day of your life with real hope. No hope, false hope, and real hope. That's what we're going to be emphasizing for the next few weeks. We'll have a lesson on the anchor of hope, the reasons for hope. We'll have a lesson that's based on the song, in which we'll simply dissect that song. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. And so we're going to really look at the subject of hope. And the one goal that I have, perhaps above all others in this series of lessons, is to help us to come to be able to live with blessed assurance because we truly believe Jesus is mine. This morning, I want to talk about the hope sandwich. Probably you are as familiar with 1 Corinthians 13 as any chapter in the Bible. You are well aware that the last verse of that chapter says, now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Faith, hope, love. How many lessons have you heard on faith? you would have a hard time even estimating. How many lessons have you heard on love? You've heard lessons on every phase of love, how important it is. The love of God for us, the love of us for God, the love that we're to have for one another, levels of love. You've heard lessons and lessons and lessons on love, and yet, look at what's in the middle of that sandwich. Hope. I would not try to diminish in any way that the greatest of these is love. The Bible says it, I believe it. And I certainly would not try to diminish in any way the idea of faith, which is the foundation of our Christianity. If we didn't have it, we wouldn't have anything. But I am concerned that we sometimes do not talk about that middle part of the sandwich, hope. It's interesting to notice several passages where all three of these are mentioned. In 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. A little later in 1 Thessalonians 5:8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. In 1 Peter 1:21 and 22, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto the unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Colossians 1, 4 and 5. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. And in Jude 20 and 21, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for, that would be the hope, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal salvation. There are at least five other passages that I've just read where, like 1 Corinthians 13:13, he puts faith, hope, and love in the same context. With the faith, which is that foundation of Christianity, and with love, which is the glue, in a sense, that holds it all together, he places this four-letter word, hope, and emphasizes, I believe, just by putting the three together in all these places, that hope is something that we need to emphasize. Faith produces hope. Let's think a little bit about the relationships that are here with these three. 1 Corinthians 15:17 through 19, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. He says we need hope more than just in this life. We do need hope in this life. We need hope after we've gone to the doctor. We need hope after we've faced some difficult times in life. We need hope, spiritually speaking. And he says that that which is going to produce this hope is our faith, especially in the resurrection of Jesus. And the faith that produces in us a belief that we too will be resurrected. If it were not for faith, we would have no hope. Since we have not seen God face to face, since we did not see the real crucifixion of Jesus on the cross and the shedding of his real blood, and we're only able to look at it through the Word of God, then there's where faith comes into the situation and is so important in producing our hope. And let me just make an observation in passing. You remember Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you do just a little bit of reasoning here, is it possible that our hope is not as high and as great as it ought to be because our faith is not as strong as it ought to be because we've not put enough time into that which produces the faith, the Word of God itself? It may very well be the case that the reason so many of us might sometimes say, well, I think I'm saved, is because we've not dealt with God's Word to the extent that our faith is strong, and that strong faith in God's Word, in God and in Christ, produces within us a hope that is strong, that gives us that assurance that is needed. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. I think that verse summarizes exactly what I've said in the last couple minutes. He says, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is God, that which is in God's word, brings to us that hope of eternal life, which God has promised that he will give to us. Colossians 1:23 says, if we continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. What's going to give us that hope that's in the gospel? The fact that we continue in the faith, grounded and settled. And the faith is another way of saying Christianity, the system of Christianity. If we're grounded in that, then we will have that hope, which he said on that occasion had been preached to every creature under heaven. Faith produces hope. But hope affects love. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, and let us consider one another to love and good works. In Hebrews 10:22-24. He talks about that faith that we have that will produce that love and thus give us the hope that is necessary. In Romans 5:5-6 and 2 Corinthians 5:14, point out this idea that our hope is going to produce and affect the love that we ought to have. If we have the hope of heaven, it's going to affect the way we love each other and the way we love God. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. The fact that Christ died for us, and we have faith in that which produces the hope, then our hope that we have, that we carry with us each day as we live for God, expecting heaven as the eternal home, will have its effect upon the love that we can have for God and the love that we can have for one another. In other words, each one of these three is going to affect the other. Faith is going to produce the hope. Faith is going to show us the kinds of love that we need. The love that God had for us in giving Christ to die on the cross, and especially in his resurrection, affects the hope that we have in a resurrection and in the eternal home with God. And all of this in turn will strengthen our faith that we continue to have in God. Now abideth faith, hope, love. These three. Those three are so closely connected. Yes, love is the greatest, no doubt. But they are so intertwined and so involved in producing and strengthening each other that we need all three of them. And sometimes I think we have a tendency to lessen the value and the importance and the position that hope should have in the picture. Faith produces that hope, and that hope is going to affect our lives and our love for each other and for God. It is so important that we have real hope. Think about how sad it will be, as described in Matthew 7. When people at the day of judgment say, God, we did all these things in thy name. And he says, I never knew you. They lived in false hope. Think about what it will be like at the day of judgment when those described in Ephesians 2:12, they were without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in this world. But think about those of us who can be saved by hope, and who can live each day and pillow our heads each night in assurance, not because of our value, but because of the Lord's value. Not because of perfection in life, but because of faithfulness in life. Taking advantage of that which is offered by the love of God and is produced by the faith that we have in the Word of God, to where we can even look death squarely in the face and not be afraid, because we have that hope. And believe that one day we can live with Christ in heaven. We don't want to face God in the day of judgment with no hope. We don't want to face God in the day of judgment with false hope. But we want to face God in the day of judgment with real hope. And we can, if we believe God and accept Christ and obey Him. If we are believing and penitent, and are baptized for the remission of sins, and live faithfully each day, again, not perfect, but faithfully each day, we can live each day in hope, and we can die in hope, and we can meet God in the day of judgment in hope, and heaven can be a reality. Do you have real hope today? If not, you need to come as together we stand and sing.
Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the morning bright and fair? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom?